Hey guys, it's Kiki, and I am finally here to give you my recap for Love is Blind Season 3. Stay tuned. So here's how I'm going to recap this season. I'm going to do the reunion as a separate episode recap because there's been so much going on with the results of that reunion. But I'm basically going to discuss each couple throughout the entire season. I'm going to break it up into three parts. Part one being their pod interaction, part two being their honeymoon and them in the real life, and part three being the wedding and my expectations and my predictions on what would happen. That way we could have a clear and concise review. So that's how I'm going to review it. Like I said, I'm going to do the reunion as a separate episode. Listen, this is my first time watching this series. I always meant to watch season one, but y'all had basically spoiled it on Twitter with, I think her name is Lauren and her white husband Cameron. So I was like, there's no need for me to watch it. But season two, it came back so fast and it had already came out too late for me. So I just felt like there was no point in going to watch it. So I probably will go back and watch season two. And then with this season, because I was able to catch the premiere early, I was like, yeah, I'm going to watch this show. So I really enjoyed the premise of this show. I like dating and reality shows. Y'all know I used to come on here and give y'all the Ready to Love, but there was no point in doing the Ready to Love recaps because one, OWN was cranking out these seasons and the production values had gone down. Two, most of the people they cast for that show, they're not there for love, so, you know, none of them have any longevity. Some of them are on their clout chasing, trying to promote their business, which is fine, but there was no point of the show. And judging from this last season, what I saw, it looked a hot ghetto mess. So I like dating shows like this. I used to love Married at First Sight, but y'all, Married at First Sight, they be putting out seasons back to back to back, and then the seasons are at least 4,000 episodes. And I was just like, child, what is the point? I think after watching this season, I'm definitely a fan of the Love is Blind franchise. I may have to drag Netflix towards the end of this recap, but I'm gonna hold on to that. So let's get started. I'm gonna go through each couple and give y'all my thoughts on them. So first, I want to start with Alexa and Brennan. Alexa is 27, Brennan is 32. They're both from Dallas, Texas. Alexa is an insurance agency owner, and Brennan is a water treatment engineer. My first impression, I thought, definitely didn't think the two of them would end up together, but that's what this show is for, to shake the expectations. Let's start with their interactions in the pod. I immediately felt their chemistry from the jump. They had like good, serious conversations. They had a lot of things in common with, you know, just the family ties and how close they were to their families. Like, Alexa was damn near having a breakdown every other day because she had not been apart from her family from that long. So if you guys remember, if you watched the season, she was to the point where she was ready to go home. I liked Alexa at first. I thought it was great to have some plus size representation. That was a major criticism I remember a lot of people having with season two of Love is Blind. So, plus she's gorgeous. So I was just like, okay, I want to see her find love. Brennan, I thought, was just good natured, seemed like a gentleman. I'm born and raised in the South, and Brennan is, I could totally see him here in Charleston with the yes ma'am and the yes sirs. He felt familiar to me in a way, because I know a lot of men like Brennan who are born and raised in the South. They love their mama, okay? They may or may not be a little MAGA-ish with it, but still make an effort to get to know people. So when Brennan was kind of courting Colleen, who we will talk about later, I was like, I can't really see that, because Colleen was 26, I believe, and Brennan was 32. I just felt like, nah, that wasn't a good match. And Brennan fell for Alexa immediately. So like I said, they had that great chemistry. I think my favorite moment of them in the pods is when she was telling him, like, listen, I can't really do this anymore. Like, I need to know if I'm your number one, because I'm finna go home. I miss my family. And, you know, Brennan proposed. They got engaged. I love them meeting each other. I thought that was so cute. And, you know, thumbs up for the big girls. Alexa was the first one to get engaged out of all of them girls there. So I feel like that kind of put the pressure on everyone low key. But I immediately thought that they would get married. There was no doubt in my mind. And especially because this was my first time watching the show, I was like, well, let me see how they're going to work out in the real world. I think their biggest challenges, even though they didn't really have any, was during the honeymoon, as they call it, the honeymoon phase, even though they're not really married. This is when I saw a different side of Alexa. I wrote in my notes, Alexa is too sarcastic. And she explains that on the reunion. She said that she uses humor and sarcasm to, as a shield to protect herself. But I thought she was a little too sarcastic, because Brennan would just be like, oh, you're beautiful, I love you, I'd marry you tomorrow. And she'd just be like, okay. And I'm like, well, damn, is all the chemistry from the pods not translating in real life? Because I still thought they had something going, but I definitely thought they were going to flop based on their real world interactions. I did notice that Brennan is a pushover, especially once he realized her lifestyle. First of all, Alexa, if you're listening, please hook me up with your daddy. Your daddy is fine as hell. And then seeing the rest of Alexa's family, it was given bootleg Kardashian. It was, when they pulled up to the house, I was like, oh, they got money. I was like, Brandon, you may need to go back to Green Acres. And yeah, I mean, I was seeing her stepmom or her dad's wife, who is pretty much the same age as Brennan. I forgot what ethnicity Alexa's family is. I don't even want to say the wrong thing, but when I say bootleg Kardashians, y'all know what I mean. And to see that her father's wife is a lily white woman who looks like she was damn near 20 years old, I was like, yeah, that kind of tracks. So that ultimately made sense to me. But like I said, her daddy is fine. And if he need another wife, Kiki is available. I do not have a problem relocating to Dallas, Texas. I sure do not. But anyway, once this is where I started to worry, when I saw that Brennan's interaction with her family, I just felt like, even though they didn't do anything specifically to make me feel this way, I just felt like they thought he was like a dumb hick or kind of looked down on him in a little way. Because when Brennan went to Alexa's apartment for the first time, he was like, you obviously make more money than me. You know, I got some student loan debt and I don't have any savings, which I feel like is 80% of millennials. We don't got savings accounts, okay? We savings. Stop it. So I did feel like a culture clash, but I just felt with how laid back Alexa was that wouldn't really be an issue. I just thought the issue would come more from her family. I did have a red flag when they went to go meet Brennan's family, and his mama was straight up like, Brennan is a runner. When things get tough, when things get too emotional, he runs. And I was like, well, damn, thanks for having your sons back on national television. But I get why she said that, because she wanted Alexa to know up front, like, listen, when his dad was sick, he couldn't really come to the hospital because it was too much for him and we didn't hear from him for a couple days. So I like women like that who are going to give you the head up regardless of, you know, this is my brother or this is my son, or they're going to let you know, hey, this is what this man is like. So towards the end of the honeymoon phase and the interactions, I was a little worried that Brennan was going to be a runner. Like, I felt like Brennan fell head over heels for Alexa, and because Alexa is so passive yet snarky, I was hoping that I would be wrong or that I would be incorrect with that. The wedding comes up. Well, prior to the wedding, Alexa's dad sits down with Brennan and her, and he explains that they will need to sign a prenup, and that even if Alexa and Brennan get a divorce, that he is expected to still support her lifestyle and still support her. Again, Alexa's daddy, please give me a phone call. I was like, oh, Brennan, don't sign that prenup. But and it wasn't even a prenup, it was something religious based, because her family is Jewish. So to my knowledge, I checked today, Alexa said that they didn't sign a prenup and that he did not end up converting to Judaism. I don't believe yet. Probably when they have like the real deal wedding. But the wedding came up. The promo had made it seem like Brennan was going to get cold feet, but I predicted that they would both say yes, and they both said yes. So they make sense on paper. When I look through the social medias, I'm just like, Brennan still, you know, sticks out like a sore thumb, but I could see it working. Like Alexa said, she wants to have babies immediately. Her and Brennan was fucking as soon as they got out the pods. So they were sexually compatible on that end. But yeah, I see them working. I'll be very shocked if they end up not staying together. Alright, so next let's discuss Matt and Colleen. In case y'all didn't know, Colleen is a ballet dancer. Okay, she's a ballerina. Y'all, we gonna talk about it. And then Colleen is how old? She's 26, so not only is she a ballet dancer, she's also a digital PR strategist. So, okay, girl. Okay. Matt, who really came out of nowhere for me, is 28 years old, and he's a private charter sales executive. So he worked with people who got money. He works, I guess his clients are very, very wealthy people. My first impressions of Colleen and Matt, I really didn't see them having much chemistry. I didn't even see them being interesting, because at this point where they decide to move forward with one another inside of the pods, Colleen had already been dumped by Brennan and she had already been dumped by Cole. So Matt was like the third guy. And I was just like, girl, where did he come from? It wasn't until Colleen got dumped by Brennan and Cole that they even started showing Matt. So Matt kind of came out of nowhere in the beginning for me. But in the pods, I just kept thinking, it's giving leftover vibes. It's giving, well, there are times a charm. But once they did start talking about what they were both interested in, Matt off the bat just really seemed like he came in there for a wife, honey. Okay, he wasn't leaving with nothing else but a whole ass wife. Like I said earlier, I was just never really convinced of their chemistry. I thought when they met up and got engaged, I thought it was a little basic. I got the feeling that Matt was more into Colleen than she was into him. So that was interesting. Honeymoon phase is where the drama popped off. And this is where they became a very drama-filled, entertaining couple. So I didn't discuss this, but in the pods, Matt had revealed that he had been married. He got married right out of high school. I think he said he had known his ex-wife like for 17 years, but most of all of their life. They got married and all of a sudden, let Matt tell it, she came home one day and was like, hey, yeah, I cheated on you and I'm pregnant and the baby is not yours. So, okay, girl. Like, I just thought, I hate when we only get one side of the story. Like, I haven't seen in the media that Matt's ex-wife has came out, but you don't just get married to someone you've known your whole life and then all of a sudden they cheat on you and then get pregnant. Like, what happened? Like, I'm not saying everything has a cause and effect, but there was more to the story that we needed. Now, with that being said, Matt outside of the pods was not the same as pod Matt. Now, with him, you know, expressing that he had been cheated on, he keeps saying presently, like, I don't want to get played, Colleen. I don't want to get played. Like, don't play me. Don't play me. And baby, that was a red flag. But still, he was still very respectful. Matt, I felt the most relatable to, because Matt is like the white men down here in the South who are, they kind of fly. They're very country, but they're not going to let you talk to them crazy. They're very respectful with the yes ma'am and yes sirs. And I don't know, when the first blow up occurred between them, I was like, now, Matt, you may have a point. So the first major issue that happens while the couples are honeymooning, so to speak, Colleen and Cole officially meet. And, you know, Cole, who we will get into, honey, we gonna talk about Cole. But Cole is all, oh, yeah, I would totally be attracted to Colleen. Like, she is someone I would go for in the real world. Y'all, this is my first time watching this franchise, like I stated earlier. When they use the real world, I'm like, this is the real world. Like, I get what they mean, but when they keep saying in the real world, well, guess what? We're in the real world. You put yourself in this experiment. Why don't you try to make it work with the person you chose in the pods? But Colleen and Cole are in the pool, right? It's a pool party day. And Cole was being very inappropriate. Colleen, too. And they were talking about, like, oh, well, you know, had we seen each other, you know, we definitely would have hooked up, or we definitely would have, you know, became a couple or gotten engaged. And now I'm like, how are y'all having this conversation? Because when this scene happens, I see Matt in the background. Matt is like next to them having a conversation with Raven. And I'm like, Colleen, you bold as hell to have this conversation with your man right behind you. But I thought what they ended the conversation on was, well, Colleen was like, well, you never know what happens. Like, if I were to meet you out in a bar, you never know what happens. Colleen, hella inappropriate. Cole was already being very inappropriate, but Colleen, I thought even entertaining this conversation was hella inappropriate. And when we see what happens next, when we see the results of that conversation, I was totally on Matt's side. Like, bro, you know, you are engaged to me. You need to start acting in the manner of someone who is engaged. And Matt was kind of eating Cole ass up too. He was like, well, he obviously don't care about the person he's with if he's even having this conversation with you. And Matt was like, you ain't finna play me, bruh. Now, Colleen, I was on Matt's side throughout this, because Colleen was like, well, I was uncomfortable and I didn't know what to say. No, you weren't. If we go back and watch that, your body posture, you sitting up straight, you smiling, girl, you just kicking up your leg, entertaining Cole's dumb ass. And I don't like that in relationships, because if you are going to be with someone, and I mean people who are in exclusive relationships with one another, why would you want to entertain the thought of there being a crack in your relationship that someone can come in and play with? Like, I don't like stuff like that. I'm a Sagittarius, so y'all know, I don't entertain shit like that. Like, that shit really irked me. And I was like, nope, you're hella inappropriate. And I feel like at this point, y'all stay with me, when Matt was going off on Colleen, it was easy to be like, oh, Matt's crazy, girl. No, I think Matt at that point was just very, you know, he's already tremendously insecure going into the situation of being married once again, given his past with his ex-wife. I understand that, Matt. You can't bring that to here, but yeah. But no, I feel like Matt was completely right. Colleen and Cole were both hella inappropriate to even have that conversation. Like, and I see why the producers, this is, you know, a major test. When you see the other person that you could have been with, will you still want to pursue a relationship with the person you chose outside of the pod? So that was the first major red flag in the relationship. Like, Matt was like, he'd leave. Child, the next morning they wake up and they sugarcoated it that they had a great conversation and that they're committed to one another. So that was it. There was the second red flag for me, is when the couples had a night out. I think this was the last night before, you know, they all got married, so to speak. And I think Colleen and Matt, they were both out drinking. They were drinking with the group. And Colleen was like, oh, the way Matt told it, Matt said that Colleen said she was going home. The next thing we know, he's blowing up Bartice's phone. When he gets home, like, where is Colleen? Where is Colleen? Colleen isn't answering her phone. Somehow he didn't know where Colleen was, or that she came home but then went back out to the club, because he kept saying, well, she should be home. It's 3 a.m. on a Tuesday, but he knew she was at the club. So Matt is like, oh, F her. I don't want to marry her. I'm not going to marry someone like who goes out at 3 in the morning and can't answer the phone. Matt had his little duffel bag packed. And Matt was ready to kick rocks. And then we find out that throughout the reunion that, we didn't find out throughout the reunion. We find out through a conversation with his friends that Colleen had. She told Matt that she had been going somewhere after, you know, the group event. She told him she was going to the club. She told him where he would be. Matt had been drinking and had not remembered. So now, Matt, now I was defending you for being right about the flirting being inappropriate. But Matt, every time you drink, you tend to get, I'm not going to use the word violent. Matt is just one of those person who is an angry drunk. And Like, if you guys go out drinking, let's say you go to a tailgate or whatever, he's going to be fine after the first or second beer. But at the end of the night, he is that man who cannot handle his liquor, who probably wants to get into a fight with everybody, who probably wants to scream and yell at you. I don't got time for it. So I think that is when we all as viewers kind of looked at Matt like, Matt, like you're doing a little too much. You're doing a little too much. And I think that the light went off for Kalina as well. Like, okay, he obviously has trust and insecurity issues, but bro, you're not going to keep going off on me. Like that first time when I was flirting with Cole, yeah, I deserved it. But the second time, you were completely wrong. So throughout the rest of the series, we see Colleen express that, you know, Matt kind of scares her in a way in that she does not know if he is the type to have her back. Like the fact that when she got home that night at being at the club and he had his bags packed and he was, you know, all F this experience, that was a red flag to her. So at this point, I was thinking going into the wedding, I was thinking, oh, Matt will probably say no and Colleen will probably say no, because Colleen kept putting the seed out there like, I don't really fully trust Matt. I don't know what he's capable of. Even when they met the parents, you know, Matt's mom was overjoyed. And, you know, I admire Matt's mom asking Colleen, like, are you really here for love? Do you really want to marry my son or do you just want to be on TV? Like, I feel like Colleen had Matt's back in that kind of scares me in a way, because I feel like she saw something that the viewers didn't get to see. Because I don't want to say this. It's especially throughout the reunion, which I am going to talk about later, it was giving battered wife syndrome, and I feel terrible saying that. If y'all hear some rubbing, I just shaved my head again, so I'm nothing feels better than having a bald head to me, so I'm just running my hand through my fade. Like, it feels so good. Anyway, so my wedding prediction was going to be that Colleen said no and that Matt would say no. We get to the wedding and I think Colleen went first and she says I do and Matt says I do. That was the most shocking to, well, the second most shocking to me. I was just like, y'all are obviously not meant to get married. Like, if y'all wanted to continue an engagement, I could see that, but there is no reason on God's green earth why Matt and Colleen should have gotten married, period. Next, and the bar only goes lower from here. Speaking of bar, we're going to talk about Bartice and Nancy's relationship. Y'all, so Bartice is 27 and he is a senior analyst. Nancy is 32 and she's a real estate investor. Let's talk about interactions in the pod. Nancy had options, honey, okay? Nancy was very sought after in the pods. I know Brennan was into her for a hot minute. Crazy ass, what's his name? Andrew, who put them damn eye drops in his eyes. Bartice wanted to be with Nancy. I think at one point Nancy was talking to Cole, but Cole was just hella immature for her. But she eventually ends up between having to decide between Bartice and Andrew. Andrew proposes to her and she turns him down because he was so full of himself. Like, you can tell when people are successful but they have no fucking personality, because all he could talk about is, oh, I've traveled here and there, and oh, I traveled there, and like, okay, what else do you do, sir? You travel, that's it? That's great. I'm not trying to knock him being a world-class traveler, but yeah. And then the whole, oh, I've learned how to, you know, have transcendental sex. Sir, get the fuck out of here. If he had been a regular cast member, I would really go in on him, but we don't have time for that. If you're good at what you do, you never really have to talk about it. Anyway, so Bartice in the pod. Bartice, and we're going to talk about stereotypes. Bartice, who is 27, just from looking at Bartice, taking one look, you can tell the nigga is corny. You could tell he's a biracial boy, but he's corny. He's corny. He's corn on the cob, corny. He was initially very into Raven inside the pods. Like, he very famously tried to have a deep conversation with Raven, and she was working out the whole, girl, she was doing jumping jacks, she was doing push-ups, like, she was not interested in Bartice, but because, and this is what Colleen did too, because Raven was like, oh, I'm into Pilates, I'm a yoga instructor, I feel like they say things like that so that you know that they're not overweight or that they're fit. So once Bartice heard that and ran with it, he was like, oh, I bet we probably look alike and everything, you know, when people see us out, they would stop and look at us. Like, Bartice is one of those corny ass niggas. Sorry if there are new white people here. I'm going to be using the N-word. He's one of those people who cares about what other people think about him. He lives to please other people so that they have a certain, not stereotypical. It's like a false ideology of him, superficial, like a superficial perspective of him. And I hate men like that. So when Raven gave him the, I'm not really into it, he settled for Nancy. He settled for Nancy. He all of a sudden wanted to get married. Now Nancy inside the pods, I never thought that they had chemistry because you could tell Nancy was a little taken aback when she found out that he was 27 because you could tell that Nancy was sort of a boss bitch in the pods. And what the hell does fucking Bartice have to offer her other than a dirty fucking fold-up couch? Like, nah. But once they did meet, once they saw each other, they did have chemistry. They was kissing, they was hugging. And I think that was where we should have stopped with the whole Nancy and Bartice thing. And then let's talk about the honeymoon phase. Bartice told Nancy at least 87 times that he was not attracted to her. She is normally not the woman that he goes for. And I'm just like, are you kidding? Like, he called her ugly so many times, y'all. And then, y'all, when he saw Raven and everybody saw each other for the first time, honey, it only got worse. That scene, like, when he had just met Raven and SK and saw them as a couple, he brings Nancy back home, brings her on the bed and tells her all of Raven and SK's business. Like, oh, they're not even intimate. Like, oh, they don't even hug each other. And at this point, like SK said at the reunion, that was very weird, bro. That was just fucking, that, not only was that fucked up behavior, that was fucking weird. And for him to say, well, yeah, in the real world, I would be attracted to Raven. The fact that Nancy did not pick up a pen and stab him in the neck at that point, I was like, Nancy, how many times, this is what, day two, day three of being in the real world with him, how many times you gonna let this man tell you that he is not attracted to you? Like, I was just like, girl, like, some other things with Bartice that I did not care for. So Nancy goes and shows him one of the investment properties that she co-owns with her ex, and she's letting him know, like, yeah, we put in money together, and which the home looked beautiful because on the outside that home looked raggedy, but on the inside, you know, we renovated this home and now we're going to sell it and flip it or rent it out as an Airbnb. And when Nancy was breaking down the numbers, because Bartice was trying to catch her up, and he was like, well, I thought you said in the pods that your ex was not as involved, like that he just gave you the house and you did this. And she was like, well, no, we do this together. Right off the bat, I could tell that Bartice was hella insecure about the type of woman that Nancy was, because she has her shit together. She was just breaking down how much, like, she put $100,000 into the house and how much she was going to get back, and that she has other rental properties, and that she's also a speech pathologist, or that she used to be one. I was like, yeah, she's a grown-ass woman. Like, she don't need you, Bartice. The other thing that really, really pissed me off about Bartice was his views on abortion. And y'all know how I feel about the government. Y'all know how I feel about people who are pro-life. I think it's a bunch of fucking lip service. So Nancy was discussing, you know, how would you feel if I got pregnant? And there, she came at it from this angle, which is, what if we learn that our baby is going to have a disability, or is going to have a rough life, or an abnormality, or be deformed? And I had the option, whether it's to save my life or the baby's, to have like a medically induced abortion, so to speak. And he was like, oh, I just could never imagine doing that. Like, I don't care. Like, I would know. I'm against that. So, okay, red flag for him, but that was a respectful conversation. When Nancy meets his family, I was just so pissed off because they were having a little beef. He wasn't talking to her. Like, he full on was not attracted to her. But I feel like Bartice needed another reason to throw her under the bus. So he brings up, why would you bring up her views on abortion the first time she meets your family? And it was just very weird to me the way he threw her ass under the bus. And then when they discussed it, his sister started crying, like, that's just so awful just to think about, because if you, like, I'm just killing a baby. Girl, shut the hell up. This is not your moment. This was not a moment for you. Like, that was weird to me. Did anybody else think that was weird that his sister just started crying and doing all this hooping and hollering over the notion of an imaginary baby, of what Nancy would do with her own body? I was like, Nancy, girl, no, ma'am. This family is not for you. Did y'all also peep that Bartice's sister looks exactly like Raven? Yeah, I'm not saying he's a colorist. I'm just saying he fell into a stereotype for me. I'm just going to say that. With the type of woman he wants. Nancy's family was lit to me. I loved both her brothers meeting Bartice, and Bartice just had all the fucking salesman answers, and the brothers are like, well, you know what, you can say all the right answers right now, but what's going to determine if we like you is the way you treat our sister, point blank in the period. Like, they wanted to jump his ass the moment he got in there, and we gonna talk about that the way. Because little big brother was on Bartice's ass. Her mama wasn't playing either. Her mom, I think, was a bail bondsman or a bondswoman, and she was like, yeah, I can always tell when people lying, you know, I can tell by body language, like, you got all the right answers, but I can tell you're nervous. I just don't fully trust you yet. Big purr. I wish Nancy could have lived up to the expectations that I had for her family. Getting to the wedding, my prediction was that Bartice was going to say no. I held out hope because of the last fight that Nancy and Bartice had, that she would say no as well, where basically, I don't know specifically what she, I don't think she did anything to him. I think Bartice was just acting like an asshole and ignoring her and not talking to her and not communicating with her. So when they met up with, you know, the exes, so to speak, of the people in the pods, and she's having a conversation with Andrew and expressing, like, you know, I don't feel beautiful, I don't feel loved by this man, Bartice, who had not talked to Nancy like the whole past 3 days, comes over. Should I be worried about something, bro? Should I be worried that you two are over here talking? Like, what's going on? Are you pushing up on my... I would have thrown my drink in his face. So you're going to share the same space with me, not communicate, but because you see me talking to another man who was interested in me, now you want to come over and kind of stake your claim? Get the fuck out of here, Bartice. Corny ass. Corny. Cob, okay? C-O-B. Because once you corny to me, you on the cob forever. So in the wedding, Nancy says yes. Bartice says no. And when I tell you, I was so happy for Nancy in that moment. I was like, girl, because you do not need to be stuck with this toddler, okay, who can't even get his hair situation together, who is constantly calling you ugly. You do not need this man. But understandably, her family popped off. Her brother was like, listen, I knew that man was corny. I knew he was not into you, but I did not want to be right. Like, her family was ready to tell him off. And in hindsight, being what it is, because of the shit that they didn't see that Bartice said about Nancy, about her appearance and all this stuff, and her not being attracted to him. Yes, I was rooting for her to let them beat his ass. But hindsight being what it is now, I'm just like, y'all should be happy that she did not marry that piece of shit. Like, especially before the wedding, when he and his ugly ass group of friends, they were like, yeah, when you sent us a picture of you two when you guys got your phones back, we were like, what are you doing with this girl? Mind you, all of his friends look like my big toe. But don't worry, Twitter took care of them. Twitter read them. One of them deleted their Twitter profile. One of them went on the record and said, hey, I never said Nancy was ugly. Y'all read him for filth. Bartice was being very disrespectful to Nancy's family. And I feel he was doing that because Nancy, in turn, was being very disrespectful to her family. I understood that he wanted to go and take her away and talk about why he did not want to marry her. But her family is trying to protect her. She's like, mom, go away. Go away. I don't want to talk to you. Mom, go away. Little brother, this isn't about you. Go away. I was like, Nancy, girl. Now, see, why are you still protecting this man who has Nancy was giving pick me energy, I'm not gonna lie, because even when the night after Bartice told her how attracted he was to Raven after seeing her, all of a sudden she wants to tell him, oh, when I was in the pods with Raven, I just couldn't. Like, she's just the type of person that I would never be friends with in the real world. Nancy, stop acting like a fucking pick me. But they did not end up getting married, and I was overjoyed. Nancy was too much woman for Bartice, and Bartice, like I said, he wants someone who's going to look good on his arm to make other people think that he's cool, and that's fucking whack to me. And as a 27-year-old man with a pineapple poof on the top of your head, I need you to get your motherfucking priorities together. I'm not gonna lie to y'all. When I was younger, I used to care about what people thought about me, but I really stopped giving a fuck, like, my senior year of high school. Like, when you get older, you realize that people are gonna have their opinions of you regardless. They're gonna have their, I could cure cancer tomorrow and there's always gonna be one hating ass bitch. But she didn't do this though. Like, Bartice, I need you to grow up. And the fact that he thought he was attractive like that, and he thought that Raven would be on his dick. And when Raven, girl, we're gonna talk about what you did where I was proud of you. We're gonna talk about it. But yeah, Bartice and Nancy, Hot Mess Express. So let's discuss Cole and Xanab next, y'all. Oh, y'all. Yeah, just a classic case of two people who should have never been in a relationship. Two people who are complete polar opposites and both are unwilling to compromise, and change their behavior. We have Xanab, who is a 32-year-old flight attendant, and we have Cole, who is a 27-year-old realtor. And what's funny is they're the same ages as Nancy and Bartice. Bartice was 27, just like Cole is, and Xanab is 32, just like Nancy was. So in the pods, I remember that Cole was kind of a hot commodity, but as women were talking to him, they could kind of tell that he gave off the vibe that he was just here just to be here, even though he said he had been married in the past and that he wanted to get married again. Now I was like, now Cole, sir, why are you here? Xanab definitely was on the marriage track. I think she had talked to Brennan. I don't really remember anybody else that she had really spoken to in the pods other than Cole, but I could tell that she was on the Cole train, honey, when it was in those pods. And once he kind of saw that it wasn't going to work with Colleen, he put all his attention, if I'm not mistaken, Cole was torn between Nancy and Xanab, but Xanab or Zay, I'm gonna call her Zay, he was torn between the both of them, but ultimately chooses to propose to Zay. And when they meet, I was like, okay, they're cute. Of course, after they meet, Cole was like, her boobs are bigger than I thought they would be. And I was like, Cole, we went into this thinking Cole was going to be the villain, and it turns out both of them were the villain. Outside of the pods, let's talk about honeymooning. Cole is a nasty ass man. Cole is the reason I will probably never live with a man, even if I get married. Like, we will be like Big and Carrie. When he took Zay to his house and he had his drawers, those crusty stale ass drawers in the living room right underneath the front TV, I was like, sir, what are you doing? Why are you so nasty, sir? The kitchen was dirty, the flies and the motherfucking toilet. Y'all, I almost had a panic attack. I almost fainted watching that. Because I know when they were on their honeymoon and Zay was like, well, could you just remember to like pick up the towels? Cause you just throw stuff everywhere. I was like, all right, Zay, like those are little things that he does. But when he brought her to that apartment, I was like, oh, so we dealing with someone who's really nasty. Ugh. Oh my God. Cole was so fucking nasty. That would drive me crazy. So once they got out of the pods, they had sex. And the next morning, Zay said that Cole didn't speak to her the whole day. And I'm with Cole, like, girl, we just had sex. Like, okay, can I have some space? Like, he never said anything negative to her. But I guess when he saw her, here's where Cole went wrong. And this started the whole thing. When they were in bed one night and Cole was like, you know, you look really different without any makeup on. Men, if you're listening, don't ever tell a woman that, okay? Don't ever tell a woman that, because right after he made that comment, that is where we start to see Zainab's insecurities take off, honey. So once he said that comment, we never saw Zainab outside of not makeup on camera. Like, lashes, face were always beat, and I was like, oh gosh. But, you know, she did discuss how she was feeling insecure after that comment and how certain comments he made about her body or how he wouldn't be attracted to someone like her in the real world was starting to get to her. And I was like, are y'all, body dysmorphia is so real, y'all. Not my job. We're doing a case with body dysmorphia. And it's when people tell me how they've experienced it and they explain it to me, I'm just like, oh my God, maybe I may have grown up with body dysmorphia, but it is like 20 times worse now with social media. Like, I'm just like, Zainab and Nancy are both gorgeous women. Like, what are y'all talking about? Like, we could trade bodies any day. But we see that Zainab is hella insecure, and Cole does not do anything to help that. Like, he doesn't do anything to quell that. He continues making these statements, making these comments, knowing that this girl is going to have an adverse reaction to whatever he's saying, which is why I really couldn't cape for Cole in the reunion, because I'm like, Cole knows what he's doing. Just stop being an asshole and just stop being dumb. To that point, Zainab is a type A personality who has to take control of everything and who has to nitpick everything. Like, when Cole would be like, why can't you just chill? Why can't you just be normal? I felt him on that, because Zainab, girl, you are a control freak and a fucking nitpicker. Like, when they were cooking dinner together and, you know, Cole was going to cook the chicken and she's like, well, I didn't see you put no seasoning on that. Okay, yeah, she had a point. But when you going to put the sweet potatoes in? Because you know they're going to be done. And Cole's like, well, I always cook it this way and they're always done at this. I'm just like, Zainab, like, just can you relax? And another thing I didn't like about Zainab is if she and Cole had an argument or a blow up and they had already deaded the issue, she is the type of person who will bring it up when it has nothing to do with the current issue. And one of those people, once we dead an issue, is dead, okay? Like I said, once you corny to me, you on the cop forever. She is someone who is going to bring it up and then flip it in front of other people. I have written down in my notes, she was incapable of moving on from arguments. So when Zainab found out about that pool conversation that Colleen and Cole had, I can't remember how she found out, whether Cole had told her first because they knew. Because it had become a big issue that he had this conversation. He had told her what had happened. She was not happy with it, but they had moved on until Colleen brought it up. No. Let me go back. Zainab brought it up at the next group like date, and she was using it in interest to Cole, like to discuss how her displeasure with Cole was going. Colleen kind of left out, you know, some pivotal points of that conversation. And when Matt pulled Zainab aside, he was like, here's what really happened. Zainab got mad all over again. I'm like, girl, you can't get mad all over again. You or Matt. Because y'all woke up the next day, y'all done had the conversations, everything was fine. So yes, even though I was on the whole team of that conversation between Colleen and Cole was hella inappropriate, girl, you had already moved on and now you are using that as a reason to get mad at Cole all over again. That annoyed the shit out of me. Like, oh, Zainab, girl. I feel like Zainab just, I don't know, she's lacking something in her life. And I do feel bad because, you know, she lost both her parents. But you wouldn't be able to tell due to the supportive system she has with her stepmother. Her stepmother would lie, marry, cheat, kill for her. And I think people who are able to have family members like that who can step up and still provide you a family, a familial unit, that is amazing within itself. But I still feel like because of Cole's family not wanting to meet Zainab, she felt rejected in a way because she finally wanted to have that mom and dad. And because Cole's family wasn't really cooperating, I feel like she was taking it out on Cole. But that final argument they had when they were cooking and this is what Zainab does. They start arguing about one thing and then she'll be like, yeah, because you told me this and you said this the other day. And Cole's like, Girl, we already talked about that. Now, Cole, when you asked her if she was bipolar, my mouth dropped open. And that's what I'm talking about with Cole. Like, Cole knows the things that are coming out of his mouth are ridiculous as fuck to say, but no one has ever had the balls, not really the balls, just the common decency to check him, pull him to the side and be like, Cole, maybe you shouldn't say that. Don't say shit that you know you're gonna have to apologize for later. Just go already ahead and beat it and just don't say it. But Cole is someone who, I wouldn't call him a gaslighter, but I would call him someone who likes to antagonize. Like, when you already lit the fire, his ass gonna be right there throwing on more gasoline fluid. Going into the wedding, my prediction was that they would both say yes, because I felt like they were both so they were both so desperate to be married. I thought they were both gonna say yes. So Cole said yes. Zanab thought she ate and said no, and she gives this whole big speech and tries to have this girl boss moment, like, you have humiliated me, you have done this to me, you have disrespected me, and I hope you find the person who deserves you, because I deserve better. I am woman, hear me roar. And her friends or family like clap it up for her, and I was like, Zanab, you didn't eat the way you thought you would have ate, because like Cole says in the reunion, if I was so horrible, why were you with me? Big purr. And we y'all, I cannot wait to talk about the reunion, because after it aired and the extra scene that aired, y'all just gonna have to wait, because my opinions on that, honey, and y'all know, if you know, you know. If you know, you know. Cole and Zanab should have never been together. Period. Mess. From the M to the S. Last but not least, let's discuss Raven and SK. You guys, I am well aware of what's going on with Raven and SK in the media right now. Unfortunately, I won't be discussing it until I do the reunion recap, just so we're not going back and forth, because I really want to make sure that my first impressions of them while the show was airing is conveyed and my thoughts on that are conveyed. But don't worry, when we do the reunion, We're going to talk about it. Okay. So we meet Raven, who is 29 years old. She's a Pilates instructor. We meet Sekuru, aka SK, who is 34, and he's a data engineer. I did not buy into their pod chemistry. Much like Matt and Colleen, I feel like after Raven kind of wasn't feeling it with Bartice, she was just picking through leftovers, child. Like, just like I felt like Matt popped up out of nowhere, so did SK. Excuse me. Like, their conversations were not that interesting to me. And I feel like Raven was just there to buy time. I also feel like the producers thought Raven was just too attractive to not make a connection with anyone. So that's probably why they were determined for her to find someone as well. Pod interactions. There was no communication to me. Nothing at all, no chemistry. I did think it was interesting that when Raven was, you know, when it was looking like her and Bartice were going to be a couple, she was just like, well, you know, I'm used to living a certain lifestyle, and you know, there's something that I gotta tell you. And he's like, what? And I was like, girl, what? Because the way Raven was talking, it sounded like she was about to say that she was a stripper or an escort. And she ended up telling him that, yeah, I've been a bottle girl. And I was like, girl, that's it. You was slanging some drinks, maybe twerking a little, and that's it, girl. If you don't get out of here, y'all. I did not care for Raven in the pods at all. I was just like, why is she here? She is so boring. And I think I was already turned off because there weren't any other Black women being featured inside the pods. So I was like, if we're not gonna have any Black women, and all we have is Raven, the bar is in hell. And I don't mean that to sound rude or anything. I was just like, Raven was just kind of boring and seemed very much disinterested in the whole process. Like, I didn't see her saying like Zanab did, or like Nancy was like, you know, I want to get married. She was just like, yeah I'm here, girl. Well, SK, knowing what we know now. But anyway, I did think it was interesting when you know, hindsight being what it is, when SK revealed that his father was very big into polygamous I'm sorry, polyamory, in that he had more than one wife. You don't say. We're going to keep it on the playground because we're not at the reunion yet. I just didn't buy that they would both become engaged to each other, but they did. It always seemed like SK was more into Raven than she was into him. Even when they met up for the first time to celebrate the engagement and they see each other, I was just like, ooh, Raven does not like this man. And someone made up a good point. Someone was like, Raven only kept talking to him because she could tell he was Nigerian and she probably thought that he would have some coin. No comment. So honeymoon, again, we're having the chemistry was building, but it still was not fully there. Like, they were interacting like they were first cousins. I was like, what is the deal? Like, why are y'all wasting our time? We know y'all not gonna say yes to each other. But I did start to like Raven when she shut Bartice's ass down, because when he saw her, he was drooling all over her and he was like, oh yeah, if I had a girl like Raven, she'd be on my lap. And when Raven met him, she was like, well, you know, I'm glad we met in person, because now that confirms that, you know, I'm supposed to be with SK and I want to move forward with him. Like, I don't see anything being here with you. Bartice's face was shattered and cracked just like the follicles on his head. So, you know, point one for Raven at that point. And then we see her kind of open up to SK a little bit more and, you know, the physical chemistry. Now, I'm unclear as to whether they had sex. I don't think they did, but when they were in the pool and she was putting her arms around him and, you know, because in the beginning she was very annoyed with SK, almost like she just did not want to be anywhere near him. And I kind of felt bad for SK, but once they started, you know, increasing the physical touch, I was like, let me find out I'm standing them. Let me find out I want this to work out. SK's family really liked Raven. Raven's family, I think she said she had a mom and a brother or an uncle or something like that, but they didn't really want to be involved on the television show. SK's family, baby, they were front and center, okay? They were Nigerian. They were going to be up in there, okay? They were going to be up all up in her nook and cranny, all up in her business. I did like that his mom was very accepting of Raven. The scene where she went not dress shopping, but she met up with his mom and his long-term family friend, and they were talking about the expectations of a Nigerian wife. Like, you know, you have to humble yourself, and if you make more money than your husband, you don't talk about it, and you have to be the head of the household, and you have to take care of your man first, your children second, you come last. No, just a respectful no for me. Just a no. And I understand that that is based in, you know, the culture. So that I have respect for it. Like, they're telling her what it is and what's expected. But yeah, no, that's not going to work for me at all. Especially when Raven came on here saying she was, you know, used to a certain lifestyle, that the men that she used to date have given her like gifts in the past that she still has. Yeah, that was, and cook. Raven looked like she don't even eat. But that's neither here nor there. Yeah, that whole humble yourself to serve your husband. And I always say, like, I'm not against submission. It's just, where are the men that are worth being submissive for? Where are they? Where they at? Find me one of them and we'll try it. But, and I had this conversation with a male friend who, he's actually a friend of a friend, but he's very misogynistic. And he was like, oh, that's the problem with women. Y'all don't want to be submissive. And I was like, well, none of you men are worth being submissive for. And he gonna tell me, oh, that's only because women get caught up in looks. I was like, nope, not true. I was like, it's not always about looks with me. It's about attractiveness. See, my mouth telling on me. It's about personality and how we connect to each other. And that's just it. Like, but today's men, y'all want a therapist, y'all want y'all damn mama, y'all want a babysitter, y'all want a wet nurse. I can't do it, bro. Sorry. But moving on from that, SK's family was a little bit too involved for me, especially his mom. And I could see how that could rub Raven the wrong way. Like, towards the end, near them getting to the wedding, he was like, yeah, my family's just not sure because, you know, your family hasn't even came and introduced themselves. And she was like, listen, I'm tired of y'all nitpicking me about that. Like, I already told you I don't have that much family. My mom does not want to be involved in this. I think she said her uncle just had a baby. Like, stop penalizing me for something I can't change. And she was like, as far as the issues with me and you, if we were to move forward and get married, we need to keep that in the house. I'm tired of your damn family being involved in every goddamn thing we do. And I was like, girl, if you marry into a Nigerian family, baby, they're going to be in your business. They're going to be in your goddamn business, Raven. I don't know what to tell you, sis. But going into the wedding, I think I did start to see Raven develop, you know, genuine feelings for SK. I just couldn't get with her on that whole... So SK got a scholarship to grad school to Stanford, I think, somewhere in California. And Raven was like, oh, that's cool, but I'm not moving to California. And I would expect you to pay my rent. Us not split halfies. You would need to pay my rent and your rent while you're in school. And I was like, now, Raven. Raven, I get where you're coming from. I would have never said that in front of a camera. But I got where you were coming from. I saw where you were coming from. And you didn't beat those, you want to be with him because he's Nigerian. And she knew he was going to be breaded in the future. You're not beating those allegations, sis. So going to the wedding, I thought that Raven would say yes. And I thought that SK would say yes. We find out through watching it that Raven said yes, but SK said no. You guys, so for this being my first time watching the franchise and their wedding was the first wedding, so when SK said no, I said, what? When I tell you, from the family whose mouths were dropped, so was mine, bitch. Me too, bitch. I was like, what? But then when, here's the thing though, and I think this went over a lot of people's heads, or maybe it was just the way I took it. When SK was saying that he could not marry Raven today, he was like, no, I care about you. Obviously, I love you, but I don't feel right getting married here today. Everybody took it as he was rejecting her and saying, no, we're breaking up. I took it as they had built a relationship, but that he did not want to get married to her today. I didn't take it as him saying, I'm done with you. I took it from the perspective of, let's learn each other a little bit more. Let's figure out this living situation and let's work towards an engagement. When he said no at the altar, everybody was just like, how could he not marry her? And I'm just like, well, he's not saying he don't want to be with her. He just don't want to marry her today. But little do we know, child. So that is it regarding my first time watching Love is Blind season 3 or the franchise as a whole. I see why people are into this show. Like I said on an earlier episode of the podcast, one of the ladies from season 1 said that she feels like the black women were used as for clout for to get viewers in. And I definitely feel that way because when I looked at the season and I was looking at the cast list, there were like 4 or 5 black women who didn't end up getting engaged. And I'm like, well, you know, obviously they're not going to feature them if they didn't get engaged, but we didn't see them, period. I didn't get a name on the Chiron. Like, I was just like, who are these people? Like, I want to follow this girl. I want to see what her, who she talking to. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know. They need to work on some better diversity. I did love that Alexa was the first one to get engaged because she was plus size. I know they had a lot of things, issues about that with season 2. But I feel like they need one more season and then they can end the franchise, especially with what's going on with Raven and SK in the news now. Like, it's going to get to the point where people are only going to come onto this show for clout or to get exposure. And we need to weed out the people who really want to get married. And that is my real issue with Ready to Love, who, y'all, they already coming out with a new season in January. It's going to premiere. I won't be reviewing it. But yeah, I liked it. I was addicted. I was there every Wednesday after work waiting to watch these episodes. The day of all of the weddings airing, I woke up early and I watched the weddings while I got dressed for work because I was like, I can't wait all day just in case I see some spoilers on Twitter. I need to know now. But yeah, I overall liked it and I'm definitely going to watch next season. The next recap will be for the reunion. So I am going to address the aftershocks of the reunion and the commentary and all the stuff and the people who's come out the woodworks, because I know they do an after the altar. So I hope we get an after the altar for it. I feel like we are going to get one, but you can never be too sure given what's happened with Raven and SK and there being legal proceedings. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for waiting for so long. I'm sorry it took so long. Life been beating my ass and it's holiday season. So, you know, holiday parties, work, daylight savings. I have a lot of obstacles against me, but thank you guys for listening. And I will see you the next time when I recap the Love is Blind Season 3 reunion. Bye.